Welcome back. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live from Shaw Park for the Winnipeg Gold Eyes Open House, 20th anniversary season for the Winnipeg Gold Eyes, 2012 American Association Champions. I'm Ezra Ginsberg, your host, filling in for Drew Mandel. I'm joined by David Minuk and Michael Remus, filling in. I guess the both of you are filling in for Richard Pollock. I'm the only one still here. I'm left holding the fort down,
Dave. And you know what? You're doing a great job.
This segment of the show is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. For over 25 years, Rumors has been Winnipeg's home for the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorsrestaurantandcomedyclub.com. You can talk about who's coming up right now. Steve-O was just announced August 15th to August 17th. Steve-O. Jackass, we'll be at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. I don't know if the tickets are sold out, but you'll have to visit the website right now. Godfrey will be performing this weekend at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. That is sold out, so you can't get tickets to that. But Steve-O from Jackass will be performing from August 15th to 17th.
We're so excited about the stand-up comedy that we're currently standing up.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's beautiful outside here. It's about, 1:35 in the afternoon on a Saturday. It's about 10 degrees Celsius here. The players have just come off the field here. But
there's still people in the stands.
It's difficult to sit down. We're so jacked up about the first round of the playoffs here. We're going to talk about the New York Rangers and the Washington Capitals right now. They're tied 0-0 in the third period. Third period just started. It's about a minute in, and we haven't had a goal yet. But the Washington Capitals took game one. I actually like the New York Rangers going into this series. Washington Capitals took the first game of the series. Dave, what were your thoughts on that first game of the series? Did you like or dislike about the Washington Capitals and the New York Rangers in that game?
You know what? I was surprised. I really was. I think, like many, you thought that the Rangers kind of stumbled into the playoffs, managed to get in, had to face the Capitals, and you really thought that the Rangers were going to relish this opportunity. The big bad Rangers. They were a bigger team. They were ready to kind of manhandle kind of a more finesse Capitals team, and it really hasn't gone down that way. I mean, the Capitals stood up to them physically and offensively. They've really taken it to the Rangers. So it's interesting. I thought Lundqvist would be the difference maker. I thought, if you're going to say Lundqvist versus Holtby, who are you taking as your goaltender? Everybody's taking Lundqvist, right? But this isn't the best dress list. This is the best goalie of the series list. So, it's interesting in that regard. Obviously, it's only one game. The Rangers could come back. The Rangers have the talent.
Look, there's no doubt that Henrik Lundqvist is the most handsome goalie in the league. But how does he match up against Braden Holtby?
As far as looks or as far as the way he can play goal?
And the celebrities that he plays guitar with. But in all seriousness, I actually liked Washington coming into this series. I think they got hot at we've seen this in every sport the last few seasons. We saw this with the Cardinals in baseball. We saw this with the Giants 2 years ago in the Super Bowl. It's not about your overall record. It's about when you get hot and when you're peaking. And the Capitals, they started off slow. It took them some time to adjust to Adam Oates' game. Look, they had like three coaches in under 2 years. So the last second half of the year, pretty much since March, when they destroyed the Jets for two games at the MTS Center, Washington's got hot. Ovechkin scored twice as many goals since, I think, March than anyone else in the league. And I think you have to look at Washington. They're streaking at the right time. I really like them coming in the playoffs. They've got, Backstrom's healthy. Johansson's playing well. Mike Ribeiro, I think, was a great pickup in the offseason for them. And Mike Green is healthy again. And this team with Mike Green, he's not healthy often, but when he is, they're a completely different team. And I think that Tortorella in New York, his act is getting kind of stale. They're playing this, micromanage, shot-blocking, defensive-style game, which really hasn't, let them to score any goals. I mean, they were having feuding with Gabrick. There's a lot of problems I see with the Rangers, and I just think the Capitals are peaking at the right time, and I think they could make a run here.
I think this series, again, I don't think there is now one bad series in the first round. You could look at the San Jose Sharks, the Vancouver Canucks. We're going to talk about that series next segment, leading up to the interview with Randy Hahn, who is the play-by-play announcer, I should say, for the San Jose Sharks. But you look at the series. These two teams played last year. The New York Rangers obviously beat the Washington Capitals in the seven-game series, ended up going to the Eastern Conference Finals, ultimately upset by the New Jersey Devils. But you have them playing today here in Washington. Not here, but in Washington. We've got the Gold Eyes open house behind us here in Winnipeg. But the Washington Capitals and Rangers are tied right now. If you think about it, these are two pretty evenly matched teams and two teams that, in a way, play a similar style. The New York Rangers have opened it up to a certain degree this year, but John Tortorella still likes to play that defensive style. Now, Adam Oates is the new head coach in Washington, came over. He was an assistant with the New Jersey Devils last year, but he's come over and taken over for Dale Hunter, and he's got them playing a little bit more of a wide-open game. A lot was talked about Alex Ovechkin switching from the left wing to the right wing and starting to get his game going, Dave. But is this a situation where the Washington Capitals not only are hot coming into the playoffs, like Remus said, but is this a situation where the Washington Capitals are now a team that doesn't play as defensive as the New York Rangers, and right now they're starting to beat them at a game that maybe they were more successful at 3 or 4 years ago, back in the heyday of Ovechkin versus Crosby?
You know, it's a good point, Ez, and I really think you're right. I think that the Capitals have really shown that they're made for now, and I didn't think so. I really thought that the Capitals were on the way down. I really did. They lost
at the beginning of the season, or going into this round.
No. Into the beginning of the season. Going into this round, Remus is 100% right. Let's look at this team. This team was on fire. I mean, the Jets went on a great run, and they lost points to the Capitals. That just goes to show you how good
Capitals
the
Capitals beat them four times this year.
That's right. But I'm just saying, like, that during that last stretch of the season, the Capitals were, like, you kept expecting them to fall.
Those two games, Dave, turned their season around. Because
absolutely.
They came in here and absolutely spanked
the Jets.
What was the
final? 11-1?
They outscored them 10-1 in those two games, those right. back-to-back games that were at MTS Center. And that really changed their season around. They themselves have said that their game started to pick up. I think they only lost three regulation games after those games.
The key for me really is, like, when you subscribe to it, you have a new coach and you have to buy into that system.
Absolutely.
And Adam Oates is a cerebral guy. He's an amazing, he really is an interesting coach. And, you know, we have an opportunity.
Not a bad hockey player in his day either.
Not a bad hockey player at all. But, like, you and I, like, we talk to these guys. We have an opportunity sometimes to talk to the visiting coaches. And you really get a feel when you're having these kind of, you know, scrums, and not necessarily the scrums that are available for media, but like kind of like a post-scrum interview where the coach is sitting around and he's talking to the media guys. And it really is interesting because a lot of these guys, like a Kirk Muller style or Adam Oates, give you so much information during these scrums that, you know, you're not, like I said, they're off the record, but you're just having a conversation. You kind of see their philosophy, and you really kind of get to understand the way they are going to manage this team. And the truth is, like, you got Adam Oates, and as you said, as they've had a lot of different coaches on this, you know, trying to kind of put these guys into their mold, how the Washington Capitals, these players, are going to play for them. Now Adam Oates says, this is the way I want you to play, and at the beginning, I think, is what we saw. The guys weren't buying in. And now you have a team that's completely bought in. You got the best player on the team, Alex Ovechkin, who says, I want in on this system because I know if I don't, we're not going to win. And look what's happened. The team's turned it around. And now we've got a team that's, I mean, realistically, I have to tell you, going in, I thought the Rangers were going to beat the Capitals. But now, sure, again, it's only one game. But I really think that the Capitals are a lot more real than I kind of gave them credit for.
This is a well-oiled machine here, guys. By the way, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. We're at Shaw Park. This is the Winnipeg Gold Eyes annual open house. The open house goes till 2 o'clock today, so you've still got some time to come down here.
Oh, yeah.
You can come down here, get some tickets.
Hey, there's a few hot dogs remaining,
There's a too. Few hot dogs left. You can get some tickets, so come on down for 20 more minutes, and we'll be live on air till 3 o'clock. We're going to have Randy Hahn on, play-by-play announcer for the San Jose Sharks, on it too. We're talking about the Washington Capitals and the New York Rangers right now. The Washington Capitals and the New York Rangers are scoreless in the third period. It's about 5 minutes into the third period, no score. The Washington Capitals right now are being outshot. I believe it was 27-19. I'll just check this right now. Something like that. Anyways, the game is scoreless. But Reem, you know, we're talking about the Washington Capitals and the New York Rangers, and in the first game, you only have one goal, and the Rangers are a team that really doesn't like to get into a shootout, and they were stymied by the Washington Capitals, got the first goal, but then Ovechkin scored, and really kind of the game changed a little bit after that. But I wanted to throw it to you guys right now. I mean, the New York Rangers made the trade. They traded Gabrick for Derek Brassard and John Moore and Derek Dorsett. Well, are they missing a guy like Marian Gaborik on their team right now?
I honestly don't think so. I really think that was actually a good move for the Rangers because the Rangers weren't very good before that. And Gaborik, and look, you had to make a decision. It was either going to be Gaborik or Tortorella. And they can try and put as much lipstick on the pig as they want, but the reality was those two didn't get along. They weren't They weren't seeing eye to eye, so they had to make a decision, and they made a decision. And the truth is, I think it worked out for the Rangers. I think it gave them some much-needed depth. Gabrick obviously wasn't working out, despite the fact that he's a very talented scorer. But ultimately, what it comes down to right now, the guy who has to be the key is Rick Nash. And right now, let's look at his. And again,
this is why they got him.
That's right.
For this exact situation.
But what I'm getting,
put the puck in the net.
Right. And the problem is, and again, I'm going to, you know, preface my comment by saying that I'm not putting this all on Rick Nash, because it is an entire team effort. But as you just indicated, this is why he was brought in. And right now, his playoff record is 0-5. They got swept when he was with Columbus against Detroit, and now he hasn't won. So, I mean, Rick Nash has to seize, if the Rangers have any hope, Rick Nash has to rise to the occasion and take this series by the scruff of its neck and really own it. And if Rick Nash is able to do that, if he's able to elevate his game, then we could see a different series. But if Rick Nash plays kind of a middling game, then the Rangers have no chance.
I agree completely. And he was good in the regular season, and he's one of the best, most dynamic players with his size and everything like that. We should mention that the shots are 27-22 for Washington. The game is still scoreless going on. Looks like a pretty even game. We don't have it on here. Unfortunately, it's not available to us, but we'll keep you up to date throughout the show. We're on the air till 3. Let's go to break right now. When we come back, we're going to switch over to the Western Conference. We're going to start off by talking about the surprising San Jose Sharks, up 2-0 on the Vancouver Canucks. Then at 2 o'clock, we'll be joined by Randy Hahn. So we'll go to a break, and then we'll start talking about the 4 Western Conference series. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, live on TSN 1290 from Shaw Park. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's about just before 10 to 2 in the afternoon. The Winnipeg Goldeyes are having their annual open house. There's still a little bit of time left. It's officially open till 2 o'clock. But if you're in the downtown Winnipeg area, you can still come on by for a little bit. The Winnipeg Goldeyes were on the field. Goldie was around. Paul Edmonds, voice of the Winnipeg Goldeyes, was on our show. He is here, as is the Winnipeg Goldeyes general manager Andrew Collier and the rest of the crew. This is Ezra Ginsberg. I am the host, filling in for Drew Mandel, who is in Toronto right now.
Drew who?
Exactly. Joined by David Minuk and Michael Remus, filling in for also Richard Pollock, who's not here. He is also in Toronto. There's a couple weddings in Toronto, so Drew and Richard are popular guys. They had to go to Winnipeg. This segment of the show is brought to you by Elite Sports Injury Clinic. Regardless of your talent level or how it happened, if you suffer pulls, tears, strains, or spasms, Elite Sports Injury Clinic is your destination to get you back to health. 3 convenient locations throughout Winnipeg means Elite Sports Injury Clinic is always readily available to get you back to health. Check them out online at physiowinnipeg.com. I've been doing some physio, actually, at Elite Sports.
You have some spasms, don't you?
I have a bit of a herniated disc in my back, and I'm not exactly in game shape right now, so I've been going to see our good friend Leah Delotte at Elite Sports Injury Clinic in St. Vitale. She's been doing an absolutely fabulous job. Now, I just have to get into the gym, and maybe things will start going a little bit better for me.
What gym would that be?
That would be Snap River Heights, actually, which, of course, you're very familiar with. So let's talk about the San Jose Sharks and the Vancouver Canucks. Everybody saw the game yesterday and saw all those depressed Vancouver fans. I think there might have been maybe a fire started or two. No, we're just kidding. We're not encouraging that after what happened a couple of years back after the Stanley Cup Finals. But let's talk about that series. We're going to have Randy Hahn of CSN Bay Area come on. He does TV play-by-play announcing for the San Jose Sharks. He's been a guest on the Legal Curve multiple times. We're going to have him on in about 10 minutes. But we were watching that game yesterday, Dave, and Ryan Kesler gave a otherworldly performance, really. He had 2 goals, and it looked like he was running around the ice everywhere, hitting everybody. It looked like he was really going to win that game for the Vancouver Canucks, but they were able to pull it out. Rafi Torres getting the game-winning goal in overtime. Are the Vancouver Canucks done here, or is there a chance they still might get back in this series?
You know, it was funny, because I think literally I said to you, Kessler's done nothing. He's looked terrible. And maybe 1 second later, he scores his first of 2 goals, and he looked dominant. And the problem is with Vancouver, there's too many passengers on this train. Nobody's driving it. And it's like, what is going on? Because, you know, the Sharks are doing what I always think the Sharks are going to do, which is play well in the playoffs. Every year, I always think, when people ask, oh, who are you going to pick for your Stanley Cup? I always go the Sharks. For whatever reason, I always feel like the Sharks are the team that are going to get it done. And every year, you get disappointed in the sense that you pick them, and they always kind of fall short of expectations. This Sharks team is kind of dangerous, and they're kind of scary, and they really matched up well against the Canucks. I mean, they won the regular season series. They beat them all three times they played. So the Sharks weren't going to be, you know, they weren't going to roll over for the Canucks and think, you know, the Canucks, because the Canucks, let's be realistic, didn't go in there as if they were the Washington Capitals on fire. So, you know, they finished all right, you know, but at the same time, I was very impressed with the Sharks' play of the last two games.
Reem, the Sharks went out and they got Brad Stewart, who started his career in San Jose. He was obviously on the Detroit Red Wings, mm-hmm. and that was a big loss for them. But they went out and they acquired Brad Stewart, and then before the trade deadline, they got Scott Hannon, and they made some minor moves. Brent Burns obviously moved to forward. We'll talk to Randy Hahn about that. It'll be interesting to get his take. But Reem, just on the topic of the San Jose Sharks, was this kind of the perfect storm, or not perfect storm, but maybe a perfect situation for them to upset the Vancouver Canucks? You've got no Corey Schneider, you've got Roberto Luongo stepping in, and it obviously hasn't been his fault at all. But was this maybe a perfect situation for the San Jose Sharks to come into Vancouver and upset the Vancouver Canucks?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we talked to Drew Remenda on the roundtable this week. He does a caller with Randy Hahn, and Sharks were looking forward to facing Vancouver. And I think Vancouver, if you go back to last year against the Kings, and even losing Game 7 of the Stanley Cup to the Bruins 2 years ago, they haven't won a game in the playoffs. And I think a lot of this falls on the Sedins. I think they can do it in the regular season all they want, but when it comes to the playoffs, maybe they don't have that extra edge, that extra fight. I mean, the image of Brad Marchand punching Daniel or Henrik. No, I can't tell.
I believe it was Henrik,
Henrik in the face, and them just standing there doing nothing. I think that's an image that has stuck with Canucks fans and hockey fans the last few years. They're just, as Dave said, there were too many passes. This team doesn't have that much fight, and you saw that. I mean, when you're up a goal with under a minute left in the playoffs, you got to put that game away. You can't allow the other team to get back in the game, and that's what they did yesterday, and they folded in overtime.
And, you know, the truth is, I didn't think, like, when they didn't score on the empty net with, like, just over a minute to go, and then, you know, San Jose brought it back into the Vancouver zone, you know, that wasn't the killer play. Actually, the killer play was Henrik Sedin, because he had the puck on his stick, and he was just like, he didn't get it out. I mean, it was just a simple play, and he just put it right onto a Sharks player's stick. And I don't remember who it was specifically. And it was just like, they turned it over. The Sharks kept it in deep. And, of course, they got the shot. Marlow got the shot. And then, you know, nobody saw where it was, right? And then, of course, it's sitting right behind Lou, and he puts it up. You know, and it was really one of those, if you're a Canucks fan, it's just agonizing. Oh. Just agonizing to watch. You're sitting there on TV, and you think that he's got it covered. And then you see it squeeze through, and it's just sitting behind him. Nobody else, except for Marlow, who knew where it was. And he, of course, you know what? And again, that shows determination. He went at the net. He didn't just stand there and think, oh, I got a good shot, but he made the save. He went, kept at the net. Puck comes loose, and he puts it in. And there's, you know, I mean, it is what it is. He tied the game up, gave the Sharks a lot of momentum. You know, we had some overtime, and we saw the results.
Yeah, you know what that kind of reminds me of? We saw this with the Jets in Washington. Remember when Blake Wheeler, you know, raising his arms?
That's what I was thinking of when I said
he
it.
He thought the puck went in. I mean, you got to have that extra fight, that extra drive in the playoffs to go hard to the net, regardless if you think it's going in or not. You got to give it that little extra push that it needs. But I think if you're a Vancouver fan, you absolutely cannot drop two games in a row at home in the playoffs. I mean, it just puts you in a terrible position. I mean, yeah, the series isn't over, but you're going into San Jose, where the Sharks have been very good at home all year, and you have to, you know, win two to get back in it, I think. Or maybe they could take one and still be in and go back. But the Canucks are in a very difficult position right now.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live at Shaw Park. You're listening to TSN 1290. Reem, I think you make a really good point about the Vancouver Canucks and what happened a couple of years ago in the Stanley Cup Finals. But you look at the San Jose Sharks, and the Vancouver Canucks are facing a team that has a lot of playoff experience. You've got Joe Thornton. You've got Patrick Marleau. Rafi Torres has a lot of playoff experience. I think it's funny, there were rumors that the Vancouver Canucks were trying to get Rafi Torres before the trade deadline, but weren't willing to give up a lot. But Joe Pavelski has playoff experience. Brent Burns has a little bit of playoff experience. Antti Niemi won a Stanley Cup with the Chicago Blackhawks a few years back. So this isn't a team that is lacking playoff experience. But I think it's a good point. I mean, a lot of the playoffs and the Stanley Cup playoffs are about individual battles. And you look at a guy like Rafi Torres, who's a grinder. You know, he's a guy that gets in the other team's face. And I think that the Vancouver Canucks maybe weren't ready for the type of challenge that the San Jose Sharks are presenting them right now. I mean, they're winning these battles. Joe Thornton is leading by example. A guy like Joe Pavelski, people forget about, has been a pretty good player for the San Jose Sharks. Logan Couture is a good player. We were talking about him potentially being a candidate for Team Canada. Logan Couture is a fantastic hockey player, a two-way hockey player. But is that really what it's coming down to? Are the Vancouver Canucks almost turning, and we know the window is closing, by the way, on the Vancouver Canucks. Is this a team that's almost become a good regular season team, but not a very good playoff team?
You know what? You have to say this. If this team wasn't prepared to handle the San Jose Sharks, and people need to be fired because or traded.
Absolutely.
Because
we should mention, Dave, just quickly, last year, after the Vancouver Canucks were beaten the first round by the Los Angeles Kings, no changes were made. Gillis right. was still there,
yep.
and Vigneault was still there.
Yeah. No, and you know what? And the truth is, like, I don't think there's that significant a fall off when you go Schneider to Luongo.
No,
I still think
he's been terrific in the first
two games.
He's been
terrific. You can't pin this on Roberto. This hasn't been his fault. He's made some world-class saves. So you're watching that and you're thinking to yourself, well, what is it? And the truth is, Rivas put it squarely. Rivas said it best. This is on the Sedins. If the Sedins can't pick up their game and be better than just regular season contributors to the Vancouver Canucks, then something needs to be done. Because, you know, winning in the regular season means nothing after the regular season is over. So you have to be able to get it done in the playoffs. You have to be... Look, Kessler, we saw him. He's still playing. He's not 100%, I don't think, but he still elevated his game yesterday. You need all those guys to be playing like Ryan Kessler.
I think your point is well taken. I think Remus made the point earlier about the Sedin twins. They haven't played really well. I think it's a good point because this isn't about assist goals. I mean, the Sedins assisted on Ryan Kessler's goal. That's not what it's about here. The playoffs are about battles. They're about back-checking. They're about sacrificing your body. You look at what people have to do to win. This is a war. The playoffs are an absolute war.
It's war of war, attrition, if
it's
you will.
It's a war of attrition, unlike us, who on a daily basis, you know, are involved in a war of nutrition, but it's a war of attrition. I'll tell you what, let's go to a break right now. After we come back from the break, we're going to be joined by Randy Hahn of CSN Bay Area. He's the play-by-play announcer for the San Jose Sharks. We're going to continue to talk about the Vancouver Canucks and San Jose Sharks first-round playoff series. So we'll take a break, and then we'll be joined by Randy when we come back. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live from the Winnipeg Gold Eyes Open House at Shaw Park. Just past 2 o'clock, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. We're at Shaw Park. The Winnipeg Gold Eyes annual open house is just wrapping up right now. It's been a beautiful day here. The Winnipeg Gold Eyes were on the field. In a second, we're going to be joined by Randy Hahn of CSN Bay Area. Covers the San Jose Sharks. He's the voice of the San Jose Sharks. Let's go to him right now on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Randy Hahn, voice of the San Jose Sharks for CSN Bay Area. Thanks for coming back on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Good to be back with you guys.
Randy, the Sharks are up 2-0 on the Vancouver Canucks after Rafi Torres' goal in overtime yesterday in Vancouver. After the first two games of this series, is it safe to say that this series has become the Ryan Kessler versus Joe Thornton series?
Well, it certainly was that to some degree last night, but I think game one was just a tremendous individual performance by Logan Couture. Ryan Kessler had an excellent game last night. And Joe Thornton had his moments last night, but struggled in the faceoff circle against Kessler. But I think that would be oversimplification. There's a lot more to the series than just that. But those are certainly central figures, no question about it.
Randy, how impressed have you been by Brett Burns' transformation from a defenseman to a forward?
Very. You know, and it's not so much a transformation in some ways, because Brent Burns played
right.
forward when
started
he was drafted. And Todd McClellan had him in Houston in the American League as a forward, and then they kind of converted him to defense when he came to the NHL with the Minnesota Wild, and now he's kind of drifted back into that forward role. But if you had told me at the beginning of the season that in a playoff game, Brent Burns, the forward, would set up Rafi Torres to score a Sharks overtime winner, I would have told you you were crazy.
Should the play of goaltender Antti Niemi be any surprise to anyone, considering the way he played during the regular season?
He's the Sharks MVP of this season. There's no question about it. He's the reason they're in the playoffs. He got them through, you know, a really tough stretch in February and March when the Sharks couldn't score goals, and when they were winning, they were winning 1-0 or 2-1. He was terrific in shootouts this year. The Sharks had 7 shootout wins. And he just was the, you know, the Sharks rode his back for large stretches of the year. So it's no surprise that he's playing well. And, you know, here we are 2 games in, and he's only given up 3 goals.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline by Randy Hahn. He's the voice of the San Jose Sharks for CSN Bay Area. We're live at Shaw Park. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Randy, I wanted to talk to you about Brad Stewart and Scott Hannon. Brad Stewart was acquired in the offseason from the Detroit Red Wings, and then Scott Hannon was picked up before the NHL trade deadline. How important has the presence of those two guys been for the San Jose Sharks on the back end?
Well, very. Stewart, obviously, originally a Sharks draft pick in the first round, and then moved on in the Joe Thornton trade originally in Leeds, San Jose. But getting him back has been key, because the Sharks are a shutdown guy, and more than anything, he's been key on the penalty kill. The Sharks had the 29th best penalty kill last year, or second worst, if you want to call it that. And thanks to Stewart, who plays more shorthanded time than anybody of any of the skaters, they were the fifth or sixth best penalty killing team this year. So that's a pretty dramatic turn in a positive way for the team. And Brad Stewart's had a big, big part in that. And Scott Hannon, picked up at the deadline, and he was a little bit banged up when the Sharks got him from Nashville, but he's played probably 5 games for the team now, and I've been very impressed with him in the first 2 games of this series against Vancouver. He's a big body, but very, very experienced, a veteran presence back there, and just has showed a lot of poise, I thought, even more than I expected at this point.
Not many pundits were picking the San Jose Sharks to be Stanley Cup contenders. So the question is, do you feel that there's less pressure on the Sharks this postseason, and does this team think that they can go all the way?
Well, I think to answer your second question first, yes. I think they feel they can go all the way. They've got the offensive depth. They've got the goaltending. They're very well coached, and their special teams are decent to good. I think the pressure, it might be different this year because the expectations weren't as high externally, but the organization puts a lot of expectations internally on itself, as every team in this league does. And, I think that's what drives the athletes and the coaches on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, you're probably not wrong in reading into the lack of external pressures maybe made it a little easier for the Sharks to get going in this playoff and not have that all those monikers of this is the team that, this is their year to win the cup that kind of has been hanging around the franchise for the last 4 or 5 years. And then when they've stumbled, they've gotten all the bad media as a result. So maybe not having that this year has helped them so far. But again, we're only 2 games into a 7-game series.
Right. You mentioned the Sharks' depth up front, and you can't mention their depth without talking about Tommy Wingles. Would you say that this is his breakout performance?
He certainly had a good year. I think that we haven't seen the best of him yet, but I thought last night was one of his best pro games that I've seen. We do a thing on our website on sjsharks.com. We call it the jam player of the game, and we pick a guy who wasn't one of the 3 stars, but someone who contributed and showed some jam out there. You know, maybe did the little things, the block shots, the hits, the details of the game that stick out in a different way. And he was our jam player of the game last night. He was hitting things. He was blocking things. He was creating energy out there. And he's turning into a real nice piece for the Sharks. And, you know, right now he's a third-line player. But if he continues to develop, I think you could see him potentially down the line be a top-6 player.
Randy, yesterday Patrick Marleau tied up the game with 56 seconds left, much to the chagrin of the depressed Vancouver Canucks fans there. But for Patrick Marleau, he has faced criticism year after year in the playoffs. How nice is it for him to get that goal and go back to San Jose with the 2-0 lead when everyone was writing the Vancouver Canucks, pardon me, the San Jose Sharks off in the series?
Well, I don't know who was writing the Sharks off, because it's a pretty even series. The teams only finished 2 points ahead apart from each other, and San Jose swept Vancouver in the regular season. So I didn't really see anybody writing off the Sharks going into this series. I still think it's going to be a 6 or 7 game series. I wouldn't write Vancouver off just because they lost their first 2 home games. But you know, it's going to be a real battle, and Patrick Marleau is going to need to be a key player in that. And Patrick's a streaky guy. He had only one goal in his last 16 games in the regular season. He was getting chances, and the puck just wasn't going into the net. Now in two games, it's going into the net, and that bodes well for the Sharks, because usually when he gets hot, he goes on a tear for a while, so they've got to be hoping that keeps up.
Randy, we were talking about this earlier. A lot of focus is on the goaltenders, and Antti Niemi has been good, and Roberto Luongo, I think you'd agree, was pretty good in the first two games as well. But you talk about individual battles and sacrificing your body, and Rafi Torres obviously got the game-winning goal, but how important is a guy like that to have on your team? Because it seems like Rafi Torres is in the heads of a lot of Vancouver Canucks right now.
Well, you know, in all the years that the Sharks faced Rafi Torres, I think you could arguably say he was one of the toughest playoff competitors they ever faced. Back in 06, he knocked Milan Mihalik out of the series when Edmonton knocked the Sharks out of the first round. And then 2 years ago, when the Sharks went to the conference final against Vancouver, Rafi Torres hit Joe Thornton and separated his shoulder, and Thornton wasn't the same for the rest of the series and needed surgery at the end of the year. It was a masterful trade by Doug Wilson, especially coming after moving Ryan Klo and Douglas Murray and Michael Hunzus, when it looked like the Sharks were just sellers and maybe weren't going to make the playoffs. And then adding Torres was just such a big boost to the room. And the thing about Rafi is that even though he's probably in the second half of his career here age-wise, he can still skate very well. He shoots the puck. He makes plays. We know he finishes checks. And whenever he's on the ice, the other team knows he's on the ice. And he's just been a huge factor for the Sharks down the stretch, and I thought he was a big reason the Sharks won those first two games in Vancouver.
Randy, we've got one final question for you here. You mentioned earlier in the interview you still think that the series is possibly going to go to six or seven games, but I guess if you can give us one situation where the Vancouver Canucks get into this series and eventually win it, or one reason why it's just a foregone conclusion and the Sharks are going to ultimately win the series and advance to the second round.
Well, I think what we saw from Ryan Kesler last night was the genuine article of the Ryan Kesler that the Canucks, you know, believe in and know they have. And if he can play like that in game three and inspire the Sedins, and if they can get that offensive group going, the Canucks have more than enough weapons and the goaltending, whether it's Luongo or Schneider, to advance in this series as well. But, you know, they're going to need to win game three. I think that's going to be critical. The Sharks only lost two home games in regulation all this past season. They lost a few more in shootouts and overtimes, but only twice in regulation. So that's going to be an obstacle for the Canucks there. And obviously they've got to put all their eggs into the game three basket. But, you know, we saw how close last night's game was. If Yannick Hansen hits the empty net with a minute and a half to go and makes it 3-1, you're probably talking to the Canucks announcers right now about the series being tied, not me.
Voice of the Sharks, Randy Hahn, thanks a lot for joining us today on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Enjoy Game 3 tomorrow night back in San Jose.
All right, guys, looking forward to seeing you in Winnipeg next year.
Thanks, Randy.
Randy Hahn, voice of the San Jose Sharks for CSN Bay Area. We're going to take a break right now. We're still live at Shaw Park. The Winnipeg Gold Eyes annual open house is just ending, but we're going to be here. We're going to continue talking about the Western Conference here. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Back to Shaw Park. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm Ezra Ginsberg, joined by Michael Remus and David Manuk, filling in for Richard Pollock and Drew Mandel. We're also going to be joined momentarily by Paul Edmonds, voice of the Winnipeg Gold Eyes for this station. The Gold Eyes annual open house just wrapped up. It's a beautiful day. It was a great day here. Remus, I think, had 5 hot dogs. I didn't have one because I'm on a diet. I don't think anybody's
figure.
Believing that. But it was a great day today. Paul, we're joined by you right now.
I have to compliment you. You threw the wicked weed away, what, a year ago now? You've been off the cigarettes, right?
Yeah, I did.
I can't believe you remember that. If you know anybody that's quit, and there's been many, many that have, usually unless you get right on the treadmill, there's a bit of weight gain. And people will make that sacrifice to quit the habit. You, my friend, look svelte.
Oh, I.
So well, what have you done?
I'm on.
I know you're not canoeing in the white shell right now. I can tell you that.
That's actually how we got here. He actually took his canoe from River Heights down the Assiniboine to the Forks.
Okay. I did a little bit of canoeing last year, but it's mainly been just the salad and, you know, more water, less beer.
Well,
Well, just actually water between the beers.
Okay.
But it's more so diet, but no, I appreciate that. It's funny that you mentioned that because smoking is terrible for you, and I actually find that it's been really easy to quit. So everybody out there, I'll help you out. I just quit cold turkey, but I actually appreciate you. Obviously follow my Twitter feed because that's probably how you know about it.
Absolutely.
That's right. We're joined with Paul Edmonds right now. We're all connected here.
Silent, but connected.
We're at Shaw Park. We're talking hockey. We're going to now talk about the Chicago Blackhawks and the Minnesota Wild. The odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup right now, I think you guys would all agree, aside from the Pittsburgh Penguins, is the Chicago Blackhawks. Chicago Blackhawks, are up on the Minnesota Wild 2-0. They beat the Wild yesterday 5-2. Patrick Kane might have had the nicest play of the playoffs so far, dishing the puck to Patrick Sharp, who buried the puck. Question for you guys, does anybody look better than the Chicago Blackhawks right now?
No. The Hawks are just deep. I mean, that's just what do you need when you go into the playoffs? You can't have one or two lines. You need depth. And the Hawks have it. They can roll out the players. The guys who are on the third and fourth line are going to get goals for you, same as the guys who are on the first line. So, I mean, they really have everything that you can need. And the truth is, my biggest question mark with the Chicago Blackhawks, beginning of the season, middle part of the season, and then end of the season, now regular, and now the playoffs, was when is this goaltending going to fail the Blackhawks? Really, that's what I was expecting. But they haven't. It doesn't matter who was in net for them. They won. And so, I mean, and that's a testament to the defense and the system they play. But, this Chicago Blackhawks team is very real.
For me, we're big Blackhawks fans in our house. And one of the reasons, of course, Jonathan Toews. But there's another Winnipeg element, and that is that Duncan Keith has family here as well. I mean, he was born here, has a lot of family still in the capital region here. So there's a real good Winnipeg connection to that team. Having said that, I look at the Stars last night. Crawford, goaltending. You talked about it, Dave. Picked second star in the game, okay? Yet the Blackhawks had 48 shots on Josh Harding, and they only gave up 28.
Now, should I give Harding a star.
Absolutely. Some of the scoring chances for Minnesota must have been real good. But the Blackhawks, I mean, this is just really the cat and mouse right now. Mm-hmm. And the Blackhawks are just pawing with that mouse right now, which is the Minnesota Wild. And it's only a matter of time before they really take that mouse down and dispatch and dispose of the mouse.
Paul, you mentioned Duncan Keith, and this is a guy that was a Norris Trophy winner. I mean, this guy was voted the best defenseman in the NHL. But yet all we're talking about is, okay, they've got Toews, they've got Hossa, they've got Kane, they've got Sharp.
Seabrook,
all these guys, nobody's talking about Duncan Keith. To me, he merits Norris Trophy consideration again this year. But, I want to talk about Corey Crawford for a little bit here because I think he has proven that he's good enough to be here. Now, last year against the Phoenix Coyotes, Mike Smith outplayed him completely, and Corey Crawford let in those bad goals in overtime. But really, should we start thinking more so of who is going to upset this team? Because this is a team, it wasn't a fluke that they went 24, 25 games or whatever without a regulation loss in the regular season. I mean, we should start to kind of maybe start realizing that this team is the real deal, and Corey Crawford is a number one goaltender in the NHL, and really, it's almost a question of who is going to step up in the Western Conference and upset this team, as opposed to starting to say, okay, well, Crawford's going to let in some bad goals, he's eventually going to falter.
This might sound bizarre, but does Sugar Ray Emery get a little bit of credit for the development maybe of Corey Crawford this year as well? I mean, you've got a guy that's a veteran goalie, a guy that I think arguably or unarguably we could say made some mistakes along his career in some of the decisions that he made and how he handled himself at times, kind of gets dispatched out of the league for a little while, comes back with a little bit more maturation and appreciation from his standpoint of what he has. And has maybe just been that refining element to Corey Crawford's game. Because you got to remember, if the 1-2 punch in goaltending, and they've had a real good 1-2 punch this year, get along, it's really beneficial to the younger guy. And I think that's a bit of an element that's happened to Corey Crawford. I'm open argument on that. But maybe we could look at that and say that Sugar Ray's helped him a little bit this year, too.
Ray Emery has always been a good goaltender. In Ottawa, he started to falter a little bit. But I think that's a good point. I think it is good to have two goaltenders and two goaltenders that are getting along. Because even in Vancouver, you've got Roberto Luongo and Corey Schneider. And everybody likes to think that those guys hate each other. But everything Roberto Luongo and Corey Schneider say is that they get along fine. And And if I get put in, my job is to play goal. So I think that is a good point that they have two good goaltenders, and right now they only have to use Corey Crawford. But, you know, guys, the Chicago Blackhawks right now are up 2-0 in this series. They won 5-2 yesterday. Another guy that I wanted to talk about was Brian Bickell. You've got Dave Bolin, who's injured. He's not playing. Brian Bickell scored the overtime goal. He also scored
in game one.
In game one. Yep. And then last night, he also scored a goal. It was the fifth goal. They were already winning. But the Chicago Blackhawks, we all know that they won the Stanley Cup. But I think it's really important. If you're a team like the Winnipeg Jets, and Chevy was previously with the Chicago Blackhawks, it seems like they always get the most out of these guys. And Brian Bickell is a guy, he had a decent regular season, but he was able to score the overtime goal. And he was in game one, and he is more so of a grinder. He's not necessarily a prolific scorer at this point in his career in the NHL. But aren't the Chicago Blackhawks really showing you their depth? Guys yes. like Brian Bickell, sure, Taves and Kane, they're getting points. But we're starting to see how deep this team really is. If you haven't seen them, by the way, in the regular season, I guess.
But look at last night. I think Taves finished with no points. So, I mean, you have a five-goal game, and Jonathan Taves, your best player.
He had no points.
He had zero points.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show you about depth, because you scored five goals, your captain, your best player.
Michael Frolik, two goals, and Patrick Sharp, two goals.
Exactly.
Fourth-liner.
Exactly. So yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you've got that mix-up where you're not relying on just the one guy. You've got this dynamic where you're saying, okay, fine, tonight the hero is going to be Bickell. Tomorrow night, the Stallberg could be the hero. The night after that, it could be. You know what I mean? Like it's all of these players that these guys have that they're just that Quenneville can rely on.
I think one thing you have to consider too is, Minnesota, they're the eighth seed, but they're also missing a few of their top players. I mean, former 30 goal scorers in Jason Pominville and Danny Heatley are playing.
Good point.
They're playing their backup goaltender Josh Harding, which
we still don't know. By the way, has MS.
MS.
Yeah, it's a great story.
And he's playing unbelievable.
Out of his mind.
So I think it's time to maybe to look forward for Chicago. I mean, they're going to steamroll past Minnesota, but this is a team that definitely is a cup favorite right now.
To what Dave was saying and what you were saying as he about the depth. Look back a couple years ago when they won the Stanley Cup, the Chicago Blackhawks, and look at those depth guys. Guys that we wouldn't consider depth guys, but two of them play right here in Byfuglien and Ladd.
Those are our top guys now.
That's right. But, I mean, how big was Byfuglien in that series against Vancouver when he's scoring goals and going to the Vancouver fans at GM Place up against the glass and mocking them? And I mean, he was huge in that series for them. And he wasn't playing top-line minutes. He might have by the end of the series, but at the same time, you need those role guys at this time of year. Your top two lines in any team are going to probably wash each other out, right? Because your best players need to be your best players. It's what you're going to get from your third and fourth lines, and that's what the Chicago Blackhawks had a few years ago en route to a cup, and what it appears like they might be using this year en route to a chance for another one.
I think we almost forgot how good the Chicago Blackhawks are. They were knocked out in the first round the last 2 years after winning the Stanley Cup, and it's almost like we forgot how good they are. But really, I mean, this is one of the most preeminent organizations in the NHL. They struggled for so many years, and they had that run, but they ran up against the Vancouver Canucks last year, and, 2 years ago and lost to the Vancouver Canucks, and then last year, they got beat by the Phoenix Coyotes were a good hockey team. I mean, they had one of the best goaltenders in Mike Smith, but we kind of almost forgot about how dominant they are, and then they reminded us in the regular season. Let's go to break right now.
Wait, before we go to break, I think we want to talk to Paul. How successful was the open house today?
Really good. Yeah, just a couple of notes on that.
I apologize. I should have thrown it back
problem.
To you.
No, that's okay. As you saw, great crowd through here today. Really good crowd. On a sunny day, but I think we would admit still a little crisp in terms of the chill. But in saying that, we had a real good crowd through here. I watched the workout a lot today. I thought the workout was really good today. If you're into workouts, and I better be because Monday I'm on the air to call the first game. But moreover than that, we sold, and I say we, but the organization today, there was a lineup to get tickets until about 20 minutes ago. Right from when they were on sale at 10 o'clock this morning, a lot of home opener tickets went, and I will say this right now, we are very close to selling the home opener out on May 27th. So if you have any interest at all on coming to see the team on what is really the big special night to kick the season off, you might want to get down and get your tickets before you maybe get disappointed. I know that we were on the corporate side this year, leading up to single game tickets being on sale today, we're over 3,000 corporate tickets sold for the home opener.
Wow.
So that was really good out of the gate. That doesn't really include the season tickets and mini packs over and above those. Then now your single game tickets. And then we have people coming in and buying 10 single games. So it was lined up, and we did a real good job at the box office today. So I think there's a little bit of an excitement around this team after championship season, looking for an opportunity for a repeat. So get your seat for the repeat.
Well, there should. I like it.
I like it.
We're going to say that all year. You know what? You deserve a lot of credit for that excitement. We appreciate you coming on today and having us back, because we were here last year, but you deserve a lot of credit. You work your buns off as the voice of the Winnipeg Gold Eyes on the show, and we appreciate you. I mean, the fact is, this is, we have the greatest ballpark. I mean, we have,
what a beautiful place to watch baseball.
We're sitting here, and we've got the Canadian Museum for Human Rights behind us.
Yep.
And I mean, it's the best. So you got to come down here. And again, we appreciate you coming on the air. Paul Edmonds, voice of the Winnipeg Gold
Eyes. Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks, Paul.
It's a pleasure. TSN 1290. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back. We're going to continue talking about the Western Conference. I think, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go next. We're going to talk a little LA Kings versus St. Louis Blues. And then we have one more series after that.
I forgot to mention, though, that the Rangers and the Capitals are in overtime.
That's right.
Right now.
I'm just excited here. I mean, there's a lot going on here, Michael. That's right. The Washington Capitals and the New York Rangers are in overtime right now. We'll try to update you as far as what's going on in overtime. I believe it just started, so we'll keep you updated if you're driving in your car. We'll hopefully keep your ICOT pool picks in. We'll pay some bills right now. And we'll be back on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, live from Shaw Park on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live at Shaw Park. We were just joined by Paul Edmonds, voice of the Winnipeg Gold Eyes on TSN 1290. Big thanks to Paul for coming on. Big thanks to Paul for having us out here. This is the second time we've done the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Isn't it third?
I think it's the second, but maybe a few second, at least unless I wasn't here for the first one, but it's the second time I've done it, Reem. But we're here. I'm Ezra Ginsberg, joined by Michael Remus and Dave Manuk. We've got Colin Jensen here of TSN 1290 as well. And it's just a beautiful day. We're going to continue talking about the Western Conference. We were just talking, with Paul about the Minnesota Wild versus Chicago Blackhawks. They're up 2-0 right now on the Minnesota Wild. We're going to talk about the Los Angeles Kings and the St. Louis Blues. Game 3, boys, goes tonight. It's a late game. We're going to be back in Los Angeles. The first two games were in St. Louis. St. Louis Blues are up 2-0. Barrett Jackman scored the winning goal a couple of nights ago. And Alex Steen, obviously, got the overtime winner in Game 1. The St. Louis Blues are up 2-0. Going into this series, I thought this was going to be an evenly matched series. And so far it has been, by the way. Just because the St. Louis Blues are up 2-0 doesn't mean this hasn't been an evenly matched series. Alex Steen's goal in Game 1 was an absolute killer. Jonathan Quick going to play the puck behind the net.
Shorthanded.
And Jonathan Quick on Barrett Jackman's goal, I mean, he also was getting a little bit criticism for not stopping that one. And it's so funny, Jonathan Quick wins the Conn Smythe Trophy last year, and then this year it seems like, you know, he has become the brunt of everyone's criticism. Question for you, what do you expect out of Jonathan Quick tonight back in L.A.? He's, you know, in front of the hometown Kings fans. He won it all last year, the Conn Smythe Trophy winner. Do you think that he has it in him to prove to everyone that he's better than his performance in the first two games?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you saw... and the problem is that sometimes a goaltender will be summed up, his performance will be summed up by one bad goal, which is unfortunate, because if you actually looked at his performance, he was great. You know, he played a great game in the series, as you've suggested, Ezzy, was really tight. I mean, we're not talking about a game that was a blowout and he let in like four or five bad goals. You know, yes, the both game winners were goals he probably would have wanted to have back. But at the end of the day, I think Quick is an effective goaltender, and as you said, he's a Conn Smythe winner. So, you know, I anticipate that he'll be just as good as he's been in the first two games. Realistically, you know, the Kings have to provide him with a little more scoring, a little more support, and yes, of course, he has to make those routine saves. I mean, you know, you can't just worry about making spectacular saves. You have to make the routine ones. And that's especially as the game is kind of winding down and your team is really relying on you just to make those stops. So, I mean, hopefully he will, and you know, we'll continue to see a good battle between St. Louis Blues and the Los Angeles Kings.
We should mention that Dustin Brown is going to be back tonight. He'll be back from his four-game suspension, and I think that's a really big deal here, Reem. Dustin Brown was an absolute physical force throughout the playoffs last year, starting with the Vancouver Canucks all the way through to the finals against the New Jersey Devils. But we should update our listeners right now on the score. It's still 0-0 between the New York Rangers and the Washington Capitals. I believe it's about 6 minutes into the first overtime right now. So we're going to keep you updated. We'll be live here till about 3 o'clock. So we'll keep you updated on any result. If there's a winner in Washington between the Rangers and Capitals, this is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live at Shaw Park. The Gold Eyes open house ended about 35 minutes ago, so we're going to continue wrapping up the show here and talking about the Western Conference here, the Los Angeles Kings and the St. Louis Blues. Reem, I want to throw it to you right now and get your thoughts on the St. Louis Blues right now, because this team has been good in the second half of the season, but maybe not as dominant as people expected. They went out before the trade deadline. They acquired Jay Bouwmeester, and the defense right now is arguably the best defense, shutting down the Los Angeles Kings, who have some weapons in Anze Kopitar and Jeff Carter and such. But as far as you're concerned, Reem, is this team just so good from the back end out, starting with Bryan Elliott and then going through all those big-time names they have on defense?
Yeah, I would say absolutely. I mean, this is a typical Ken Hitchcock defensive team. They start out with great goaling. They can throw out Jaroslav Halak, who we saw a few years ago with Montreal, took them to the conference final, and Bryan Elliott, who's been spectacular since coming over from Ottawa. But I think the thing to me with this team is, especially on forward, is they have three maybe above-average lines, but they don't have any superstars. But I think that works your advantage. I mean, you can go with any line on any given night that can beat you. I mean, you got Andy McDonald and Chris Stewart on one line, Alex Steen and David Backes on the other. So I think the St. Louis is very deep, and their defense is very good. I mean, Pietrangelo, Bouwmeester, Leopold, Shattenkirk, Barrett Jackman, is the veteran presence, is playing on the third line. I thought this was going to be a tough series to begin with. I mean, to predict, you can go six or seven games. You got the defending cup champions against, you know, St. Louis, who finished first last year but then had an early exit. These are two really deep teams, and honestly, it's very tough one to call.
You know what? It's interesting, because before this year, my dad actually said to me, he goes, you know, the Blues are a nice pick. Nobody's giving them any respect. And it's interesting, because when you look at the regular season matchup between these two teams, similar to the Canucks and Sharks series, the Kings owned the Blues. The Kings had won, I think, all three matchups three times they played. So, you know, you sit there and you go into it and you think to yourself, well, the Blues, a lot of people pick the Blues early, but did they have that respect coming into the playoffs? And it didn't appear to be, because, you know, again, the odds were against them in terms of people who are gambling, and they were looking at it and they're saying, well, you know, we don't think that the Blues have a Stanley Cup team. And so, but you've seen the emergence of Alex Steen, you know, good Winnipeg boy, playing some serious hockey. You know, I like Jaden Schwartz. I actually like the way he's played. And what nobody really is talking about, and what surprised me, was the knee-on-knee hit that Brown leveled on Schwartz. Was that game two?
Well, that was in game one, I believe.
Sorry.
No, it wasn't. Sorry,
no, game two.
But I want to get your thoughts on that. What, did you think that maybe should have been a suspension from Brendan Shanahan?
Honestly, it was so much more egregious than honestly, the Greiba incident. Like that, I was like, I actually was shocked. It literally, he stuck his knee out. And his elbow. I mean, it's and Brown has a history. I mean, we're not talking about a guy who's never been touched before and been looked at. And I honestly was watching it. It was without question a dirty play. And it was an attempt to, I don't want to say an attempt to injure, but it was definitely, there was something, it didn't smell, didn't pass the sniff test in my mind. And I watched that play and I thought to myself, boy, that's going to get a look at. Didn't get a penalty. Okay, fine. Refs could have missed something. Then you think to yourself, okay, the NHL is going to review it. They didn't even review it.
You know, the thing with these penalties and these suspensions is you have no idea what they're going to do from one to the next.
I agree.
I mean, Andrew Ferentz gets a game for what it looked like a pretty, you know, pretty blatant,
yep,
obvious elbow on Grabowski.
Yep.
And then Greiba, which half the people are saying this shouldn't have even been a penalty, gets two games. I mean, you never know what's going to happen one way or the other.
There's no consistency.
I should mention I incorrectly said that Dustin Brown is coming back tonight. He actually was played in game two.
Right.
He didn't play game one. So I should correct it. Hey, you know what? I'm willing to admit my mistakes, Dave.
I didn't want to correct you on air.
No,
I was thinking it, though.
Drew Mandel, the regular host of the show, he's never willing to admit.
Infallible.
You know what he does when we post the show? He actually goes back and he changes. He dubs in changes. But I'm willing to admit when I made a mistake. So Dustin Brown, captain of the Los Angeles Kings, played last game, unfortunately, in a losing effort. And tonight they play in Los Angeles, late game. I believe it starts at about 9 o'clock Winnipeg time. I think that's going to be an amazing game. I think the LA Kings are going to come out with everything against the St. Louis Blues, who right now I think are one of the most dangerous teams in the Western Conference. And we should just update right now. The Washington Capitals have defeated the New York Rangers 1-0 in overtime.
Mike Green
scores the game-winning goal in overtime. Let's check it. I believe it was about
6 minutes in. 8 minutes in.
8 minutes in. Almost so close to we'll have to hopefully get a view of that goal. But Mike Green, a guy that has struggled on the defensive side of the game, but gets the big goal. So
he has no problems on the offensive side.
The Washington Capitals up 2-0 on the New York Rangers. That series will head back to New York for Game 3. But really amazing. The Washington Capitals are really getting the job done up on the Rangers right now, who you have to think that if the Rangers don't come back and win this series, Tortorella's job has to be on the line.
Well, okay, a couple things. Number one, for anybody who participated in the hashtag ICOT pool, we will be getting to that, obviously, after we are off air. But hopefully someone picked green. You can win some IC gear. That'll be a lot of fun. I honestly think that your arch nemesis, one John Tortorella, he's got to be on the hot seat. Because the truth is, as we know, fair or not fair, the coach takes the fall. You can't fire an entire team. So in this day and age, what ends up happening is the coach, that if you have an underperforming team, you can't blame all of the players, even if the players are the ones who are underperforming, so you have to make a change. And, you know, they say, well, the players have tuned him out, and perhaps they have. Maybe his shtick has gotten a little old. I mean, I'm already over it, and so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. His job isn't on the line yet. If they don't win Game 3, they're done. There's no way this team's coming back from 3-0 deficit. So, it'll be very interesting, but, you know, kudos to the Caps for just continuing the torrid pace.
Just one thing I want to add before we go to break, or were you pointing at me to go to break, right? Or?
Oh, no, I wasn't pointing at you. I was actually giving you the mic.
Oh, okay.
He's handing you the
conch. Look, in the case of the Washington Rangers series or the Kings Blue series, the home team won the first two games.
Yep.
You know, I said this yesterday, and, you know, you're going to hear this throughout the playoffs on it by any commentator, but a series isn't over until the home team loses a game. So, look, I don't think you should write off the Rangers, even though I think Washington is going to win. And I don't think the Kings, I don't think you can write them off at all. They're the defending Stanley Cup champions with basically the exact same team. Except, you know what? They're so deep on defense now. They traded for Robin Regier. My boy, Alec Martinez, isn't getting any ice time.
He isn't. And it's difficult when you have a guy like Robin Regier stepping in with his playoff experience, doing a great job. He has the connection with Daryl Sutter in Calgary.
One other guy who's playing great, I mean, they picked up Keaton Ellerbe, but Jake Muzzin, the rookie is playing exceptional.
There was even talk a little bit about him getting some Calder Trophy consideration. Going to be a little bit difficult, especially with those two good rookies in Montreal, in Brendan Gallagher and Alex Galchenyuk. You were just listening to Michael Remus, and before that, you were listening to David Minuk. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm Ezra Ginsberg. We're live at Shaw Park. We've got about 15, 17 minutes left in the show. And guys, before we go to break here, one thing about this series, the St. Louis Blues and the LA Kings, and of course, in case you missed it, you're driving around or maybe you're listening to us going for a walk, the Washington Capitals have just scored and defeated the New York Rangers 1-0. Mike Green, assisted by Mike Ribeiro and Alexander Ovechkin. The Washington Capitals are up 2-0 on the New York Rangers. Game 3 goes back to New York. But before we go to a break and have our last segment, we'll talk about the Anaheim Ducks and the Detroit Red Wings tied, a very fascinating series. That game went to overtime when the Ducks were up 4-1. Nobody thought it could happen, but we'll wrap up the show and give the listeners our cheers and jeers. But before we go to a break, on the topic about the St. Louis Blues and the LA Kings, up 2-0 on the LA Kings, Game 3 is tonight. Aside from the Chicago Blackhawks, is this the one team, maybe, that is going to cause the Chicago Blackhawks? Have they kind of become the one team that we're expecting to face the Blackhawks in the Western Conference Finals based on the way they've handled the LA Kings thus far?
You know what? They could be singing the blues. The Hawks could be singing the blues because St. Louis is a balance too soon. Remus gave me
singing the blues.
Remus gave me the too soon look. So
no, I didn't give you that
look. The key, I think, again, similar to the Hawks, is that the Blues are a very balanced team. They have depth. They have team depth. And you know what? Honestly, they have Ken Hitchcock, and he is just an amazing...
They might not have a superstar, but there's no real weakness anywhere.
No, really. Exactly. And you know what? They've got... Look, they got Bouwmeester. He's just... He doesn't get you the numbers. He's not going to get you the... He's not going to score 100 goals, but he's just... He logs the big minutes. He does all the little things that you need a defenseman of his caliber to really do for you. And they're getting the goaltending. So, I mean, like, realistically, do I... You know, I wouldn't count St. Louis out. I wasn't high on St. Louis based on the fact that they were facing off against the Stanley Cup champions. That, to me, was kind of a concern. But I like the St. Louis Blues overall as a team. I like the way their team is composed. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, again, Remus is right. They have to take at least one of the two games in Los Angeles.
Well, we can't forget, though. I mean, the St. Louis Blues were maybe the seeded favorite. But the LA Kings swept them last year.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a reason to think that the LA Kings were the favorite going into the series. Because with all the parity in the NHL, when you get into the Stanley Cup playoffs, seeding, points, regular season matchups, you could really throw it out the window. Sure, you know, the San Jose Sharks were good against the Vancouver Canucks in the regular season. But once it gets into a playoff series, then you have to look at line matchups, goaltending, all of those intangibles, experience. So I think that, you know, the LA Kings right now, they might be down 2-0, but they're the one team that I would not write off just based on last year's series and the way they won the Stanley Cup last year. So there's not much else to say. They were the best team, but I think the St. Louis Blues right now are maybe showing that they're a little bit more underrated, even though they were a favorite heading into the regular season. We're going to go to a break right now. And when we come back, we've got one more series to talk about. It's the Anaheim Ducks versus the Detroit Red Wings. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Welcome back. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I know, I'm excited here. We're live from Shaw Park for the Winnipeg Gold Eyes annual open house. It ended about 45 minutes ago, 50 minutes ago. It's a great time. We had Paul Edmonds, voice of the Winnipeg Gold Eyes, on. It's a great time. The Gold Eyes were on the field. There was a lot of people here. Remus had a few hot dogs. This segment of the show is brought to you by the Certified General Accounts Association of Manitoba. The CGA Association of Manitoba is the largest, fastest growing, and most diverse accounting body in the province. Did you know that CGAs are among the top 5% of income earners in Canada, with an average yearly salary of $72,000 for new graduates? For more information, contact the CGA Association of Manitoba at cga-manitoba.org or 204-477-1256. The CGA Association of Manitoba, we see more than numbers. Guys, we're going to wrap it up right now talking about the Detroit Red Wings and the Anaheim Ducks. This series is tied at 1. Game 3 goes tonight in Detroit. I believe it's about 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Check your local television program guide. Last game, Gustav Nyquist got the overtime winner. Is this Detroit Red Wings team maybe a little bit more deep and talented than we thought they were, Dave?
You know what? It's a good question, Ez, because you look at Detroit, and I have to tell you, I wrote the Ducks off after that last game. Like, when it was 4-1 Detroit, I thought, well, I guess, and it was too bad because it was the last game of the four that night, and I thought, well, we won't be having an ICOT pool this night because, and I tweeted that from the Illegal Curve account because I was like, well, there's no chance. Then it was 4-2, and you thought, eh. Then all of a sudden you see Solani score, and then you're thinking to yourself, okay, now it's 4-4, 4-3, and then I knew Bobby Ryan was getting that goal, so now suddenly it's 4-all. Detroit, luckily for them, scores a minute and 25 seconds or something like that into the overtime to preserve a win. You know, a win that, if they don't win that game, is pretty much a death knell for them for the series. You know, it's interesting. Mike Babcock doesn't have as deep a team as he usually does. You know, Zetterberg, Dak, Tuk, they're getting a little bit older. Franzen, actually, I thought Franzen had a pretty good game for the Red Wings. You know, it's interesting. I'm not sure that this team... I know this team will match up well against Anaheim. I don't know that this team matches up for a or gears itself up for a long playoff series, you know, to the Western Conference Finals or something like that. I just don't know that they have it. They don't have the defensive depth that they had when they had a Nicholas Lindstrom in the lineup or Brad Stewart. Honestly, like, I was in Detroit, you know, I was in Michigan for a number of years, so I saw the Red Wings play, and I got to tell you, like, losing a guy like Brad Stewart, you don't think much about him, but when he's gone, you feel it. And unfortunately, they really are feeling the ramifications of not having him and, you know, and like I said, in Lindstrom, and we're seeing what the Detroit Red Wings are made of, unfortunately. And it's, you know, they made the Stanley Cup Finals, I mean playoffs, sorry, for the 21st straight season, you know, a record that I don't think really will ever be broken because, well, it doesn't even look like they're going to keep making, they might keep it going. But they really aren't a team that I think stands up well for a long playoff run.
You know what I think is fascinating about this series between the Detroit Red Wings and the Anaheim Ducks, especially in Game 2 when you had the Detroit Red Wings go out to the 3-0 lead, the Anaheim Ducks score four unanswered goals. But really, this team is really, it's almost like this series has become Anaheim's defense versus Detroit's forwards. And you had the Detroit Red Wings scoring five goals, but also very uncharacteristic maybe for the Anaheim Ducks to have to give up six power plays to the Detroit Red Wings. The goal that was scored by Gustav Nyquist was with Sheldon Suhre in the box for slashing, and then he was also in the box earlier in the game when Johan Franzen got the goal in the third period. Sheldon Suhre is another guy like Wade Redden, who was kind of an NHL obscurity, and he's managed to come back and be a number one pairing defenseman with Francois Beauchemin. But for me, the Anaheim Ducks were uncharacteristically in the penalty box, and this isn't, you know, necessarily how many penalties they took during the regular season, but this is a team that has guys that have been there, Getzlaff and Perry. They've won the Stanley Cup before, as other guys have on this team, Timo Solani. But again, the Detroit Red Wings capitalized on their power play chances. They scored three power play goals, and this has really turned into, I think, them exposing a defense that maybe isn't as good as we thought it was.
Well, which defense?
Anaheim.
I actually really like Anaheim's defense. I think they got up a lot of experience. I mean, Tony Lidman's been to a cup final. Francois Beauchemin, Ben Lovejoy's been to a cup final. Cam Fowler, great young player. Brian Allen, a shutdown defenseman. Lucas Spezza. I mean, so I know I'm just listing guys here. But you can see that they, and you know, you look at to compare them to Detroit's defense, and they have a lot of young guys. I mean, Jonathan Erickson, he's a young player in his second, you know.
Reem, we should mention that Danny DeKeyser will not play for the Detroit Red Wings. He's out for the season.
Detroit's got a lot of young, you know, inexperienced guys that may be playing a role above maybe where they should be playing. And I really do like Anaheim. I think they've got a lot of experience. They've been there before. And I think they bring that element to the table that Detroit doesn't necessarily have.
I believe it's Brian Lashoff. We'll maybe check on that or tweet that out if we can quickly find it. But I think it's Brian Lashoff that replaces Danny DeKeyser, Western Michigan guy, who the Detroit Red Wings signed. There was a bit of a bidding war. But he's out of the lineup. But Reem, you make a good point. I mean, you've got Sheldon Suhre and Francois Beauchemin and Lucas Abiza and Cam Fowler, who Canada fans will remember got that game-winning goal for the U.S. in the World Junior Tournament. So I do agree with you. They've got some talent. But I look at the Detroit Red Wings, and how are they going to win this series? And you look at Jimmy Howard and up, if you go position by position, you look at, you know, goaltending, and you might give the edge to the Ducks, whether it's Hiller or Foss, who's kind of come out of nowhere. But they're going with Jonas Hiller, and he didn't have his best game in the second period. But you look at where they could take advantage of it, and we talked about this on the Illegal Curve playoff preview show. You look at the Red Wings, and for all of the, you know, the defensemen that they're missing, Lidstrom and Stewart and Rafalski, they've still got Datsyuk and Zetterberg and Franzen, mm-hmm. and then the new guys that have come in from the Swedish league, and Damian Bruner. And so you look at it, and I really think that Detroit's speed and their transition game has really caused bigger guys like Sheldon Suhre to take penalties, and they've kind of exposed it. And I think they've used what got them the cup in 2008 and got them back to the cup final in 2009, and that's puck possession, that's skating, and that's being a dominant team on the power play. And you don't even really need a guy like Jimmy Howard to stand on his head, because you remember Chris Osgood, he really didn't have to stand on his head. So I do think that, even though I agree with you, Reem, that they do have some talented guys that have been there, I do think that the Detroit Red Wings are causing some matchup problems for their defensemen.
Look, we're short on time, but you can't talk about the Ducks without mentioning Timo Solani. They got him and Sagan Koivu combined 80 years old. And one thing, you know, I tweeted this the other day. Timo Solani, the only guy in the lead rocking the Jofa helmet. I mean, does he have a closet full of these? Where is he getting all of them? He's the only guy. They stopped making these like years ago. That's about it.
Reem, I like that. No, shout on every Winnipeg hockey show, there should always be a shout-out to Timo Salani. Oh. I think when you score 76 goals in your rookie season and set the rookie goal-scoring record, I think nobody's ever going to be upset when you mention Timo Salani, guys. But quickly, we're going to wrap up the show with cheers and jeers. I want to thank all of our guests. I want to thank Paul Edmonds for coming on the show, Andrew Collier, Gold Eyes GM, for coming on, our guest Randy Hahn of CSN Bay Area. We had Sean Simpson of Team 1200, and we also had Sean Fitzgerald of the National Post. So one final segment. Timmy will cue up cheers and jeers for us, and then we'll wrap it up.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Dave, quickly, I'll start with you. Cheer or jeer this week?
Cheer. Expedited cheer. And I'm going to the Winnipeg Gold Eyes organization. They ran a fantastic, they're a first-class organization. This was a great open house. Come to see the Gold Eyes. It's a really a hidden gem in the city. Take advantage of it. It's a beautiful park. It's a great game. And you really should come out and support your local team.
Reem, cheer or jeer?
Oh, that's a great cheer. I'm going to cheer the Gold Eyes, but I think Josh Harden deserves a cheer as well. Steps in for Nicholas Backstrom. We all know he's suffering from MS, but he's not using that as an excuse. He's playing unbelievable goaltending for Minnesota.
That's a good cheer, Reem. I'm going to quickly give a cheer to Wade Redden. I think this guy was buried in the AHL. He comes back. Now he's getting points in the playoffs, scored a goal and an assist for Boston, stepping in for Dougie Hamilton, who will be back in the lineup for game two tonight. But Wade Redden, love to see it. Great story. He got a guy that comes back, contributes offensively. So that's going to do it.
Wow.
That's the show. That's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I want to thank all of our guests who I mentioned earlier for coming on. I want to thank David Minuk, Michael Remus for stepping in for Richard Pollock and Drew Mandel. I want to thank Colin Jensen for all the hard work that he does for us, setting us up here. We're going to leave
Timmy
you
for, Debenham and Tim, yeah.
And Timmy back home, of course. Timmy, thank you very much, even though he's not going to be able to, or maybe he will be able to come on the mic. I'm not sure if he will, if you can hear that. I'm Ezra Ginsberg. You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I want to thank our sponsors of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, the CGA Association of Manitoba, and Elite Physiotherapy. That does it for me, for Michael Remus, for David Minuk, for Colin Jensen, for Timmy back there. You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk, Saturdays from noon to 3. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, only on TSN 1290. Your official home of the Winnipeg Jets.